Greetings. I'm Nora McNerney.
I'm Natalia Turfa.
This is Cafeteria Christian, a podcast that's loosely about Christianity.
I mean, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. But
it's about life with a Christian angle.
Right. Yeah.
Christian lens.
Christian.
The churchy word is hermeneutic.
Oh, I vaguely remember that word. Gosh, I went to, I went to a lot of Catholic school, and I was solidly zoned out for a good portion of it.
You kept your GPA.
I kept that GPA up. I was like, I know how to repeat stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not a fool. I got a photographic memory.
I got this. Yeah.
We are going to have a listener episode today. We have been asking you to send us your voice memos, your voicemails. We've asked you to call our phone number, 612-606.
Nope. 612-568-6066.
Like I was saying, totally. That's the phone number. And one of you did. We got a very interesting topic from a listener named Leslie.
Yes. And we're going to play her
voicemail.
Voicemail for you right now.
Hey, Natalia and Nora. I don't really know if this would make a good topic for Cafeteria Christian, but it is something I selfishly would love to hear discussed, and especially hear Natalia's take on this as a minister. And I guess if I were writing an essay on this topic, I would probably title it On Death and Demographics, because I am just wondering how what seems to be the current Christian movement, especially in non-denominational churches, toward targeting a demographic, particularly the young sort of hipster demographic, impacts ministry and the effect that it has on the people that fall outside of that demographic. And I say that personally just as someone who lost her mom in the last year and was attending a non-denominational sort of hipster church. And I saw that when she died, that the people that I went to church with really were silent. And they did not really rise to the occasion. They did not minister to us, to put it in church terms. They did not reach out to us. They did not care for us. And it was a sudden loss and a painful loss. And I have found myself, unfortunately, feeling really bitter about this, because I can go on to that church's Facebook page that's aimed at the women in the church, and I kid you not, no exaggeration, a mom having a baby, within minutes of her delivering that baby, someone is on that Facebook page organizing the meal train, making sure that family is cared for and meals are delivered. And I just think the two biggies in life are life and death. Someone being born and someone dying. And it seems that the young generation of churchgoers, the hipster generation, they are focused on the things really that impact strictly their demographic. And there's a huge range of people in any given congregation with all sorts of needs, from needing care when a baby's born to needing care when someone in the family dies. And I just wonder what is going on in our society, maybe specifically Christian society, that we're targeting and caring for some and neglecting others. And it has created something in me that I'm struggling with now. After a lifetime, literally, of being in church, my husband and I are in a season now where we're not in church. We still consider ourselves Christians, and we want to be in a faith community. But the wound there really is so deep right now that we cannot bring ourselves to walk through the doors of a church anymore, where the coffee stations are set up and the roasts of coffee have name tags and people are wearing branded logoed shirts, but no one cares that my mom died. I just can't do that anymore.
A lot.
That's a lot.
That's Leslie, a lot that's real.
First, can I just say, I'm sorry you lost your mom. And I'm sorry she died. And I'm sorry it was sudden. And I'm sorry that your people weren't there for you.
That is, who you thought were your people.
Yeah.
Who you thought were your people. So,
I'm sorry. That sucks.
It sucks so bad. And you're so angry. And I am here for it. Because we don't really get to be angry often enough in a way that is respected and heard. And I don't know that there's anything worse than feeling lonely and betrayed after a person dies and you are expecting something from your community that you don't get. I was not a part of a faith community when Aaron died, but I was a part of several communities, and I felt super lonely after Aaron died. There was not like an expectation that was, you know, stated. It's not like I was a part of a church and like, you know, that there are certain things that are supposed to happen when somebody dies, but it still hurts to feel like the thing that happened to you isn't important because other people can't acknowledge it. And I think in general, that is a huge, huge problem with our generation. And when you, I know, here's the thing is I kind of know what you're getting at when you talk about like
the hipster church
with like logo tees, and that always personally kind of grossed me out because I don't know, I just feel uncomfortable in situations like that. I never want to feel like I have to be cool because I'm just not, like, I just want to go to a place and like just sort of like be. But I also think that when things like this happen in your life, that finding out who is not your people, who aren't your people, whatever, finding out the people who aren't your people anymore is just as valuable as the day when you figure out who your people actually are. Like, it just opens up this huge space in your life that, yes, is a gaping hole of loneliness and also is a space that the right people can and will eventually fill. I can say that after 4 years, after Aaron died and my dad died, and I was really angry. I was really angry at all of the people who didn't show up. I can tell you by name the people who weren't at my dad's funeral who should have been. I can.
Yeah.
I can. I can tell you the people who stopped inviting me to stuff after Aaron died. Like, I get it, but those were more on an individual basis. And what happened to you was like an entire community of people being like, okay.
And this is maybe a great episode to have right after our prosperity gospel episode, because there is that same thing plays into this when your community of faith is all about like the happy, good, joy, joy, joy moments, like God has blessed you with a baby and God has blessed you with health and wealth and like pretty people leading things and like, you know, coffee bar and like all that stuff. Then when like the worst stuff happens and your community sees that as a failure of God, then they don't acknowledge it because they don't want to like have that. That's like a lack of, like, they think God has failed, and so since they can't believe that about God, then they just, like, don't touch it. And that to me is, like, when, again, it goes back to that thing I said in the prosperity gospel episode, where it's, like, your theology should stand up to the worst that life has to offer, and if it doesn't, it's not good theology. And so it's this idea, like, if God is in the worst stuff, then if your community believes that God is with you in the worst stuff, then they show up in the worst stuff. And if your community believes that God only gives you good things, hashtag blessed, then you only show up in the good things and the good moments and in those celebration moments.
It, within or without a faith community, it's easier to be there in the good moments. Like,
absolutely.
We just know what to do.
Right.
We're like, you had a baby? Like, I know how to send a card. Also, by the way, everyone who's listening to this who I know who has had a baby is like, I didn't get a card. You're right. You didn't get a card because I don't actually do nice things for people, but I think about them. Okay. I haven't stopped over and brought you a hot dish. I've thought about it. I have not done it, but congratulations on your beautiful baby. But the people who do show up, and I think that if you really think about it, there are people in your life who have showed up. There were in mine, but my vision was so obscured. I was so angry and busy counting the people who didn't show up that I overlooked the people who did show up, and they were a plenty. They were plentiful. I'm thinking about Kate and Jen coming over with Kate's dad and hanging curtains. I'm thinking about Evan and Ashley. I'm thinking about Hannah. I'm thinking about all of these people who were not associated with any faith community or anyone that I was a part of and who showed up and did the thing. And what I wish I had done right away was be more upfront about how important it was to me that I did have those people and that I had been less focused on who wasn't there. And that also I had just said out loud how disappointed I was with the people who weren't there, because systemically within your former church, those people just haven't been there yet. They haven't been there yet. And so they think that they are doing everything fine. They think they're doing such a good job. And when it happens to them, they will realize that they aren't. And that's a hard way to learn it. So I do think that there is value in communicating those things like directly and politely, and even in saying, one, you got to unfollow that group, that lady group for your own church. You got to stop going to that Facebook page. You got to remove it from your social media life. You have to stop pushing that bruise because it will always hurt.
Yeah.
But it might be worth just making a phone call to that pastor and saying, I'm not there anymore and this is why, and it really hurt. And I just want to make sure that I say that out loud, not in an email where you can read it however tone you want to take it, but I just say it out loud because it hurt me. And I don't know if there are other people feeling this way, but I imagine that there are.
So if your church is really like thinking about their brand and they're really, really worried about their brand, or they're really worried about the type of people they're attracting and they just don't have space or place or time, or even a clergy person whose job is pastoral care. Like, that's a thing that we are, if they are a trained clergy person, which some denominations, especially if they're non-denominational churches, are just like, oh, you like Jesus and you wear skinny jeans, you're a pastor.
That's Do you have a sleeve tattoo? Do you have a beard? Great. Is your wife a blonde? Excellent. Even better.
Even better. So like,
how big are her boobs? Asking for a friend.
Trained.
Asking for Jesus.
Trained. Oh gosh. Trained clergy people should have at least some education in the area of pastoral care.
And like, tell us what pastoral care is, because it sounds like farming.
Yeah. It's not pastor, not pasture.
Pasture care. What's pastoral care?
It's where, like, part of my job as a pastor is I do hospital visits. I do visits with congregation members who are homebound and, like, can't come to church anymore. If somebody's in the hospital and they let me know that they want me to come, I come and sit with people in, like, the hard, worst moments. And that means when somebody's person dies, that they know there is a person at their church who will be there for them. And part of that, like, look, seriously, if your congregation is like such a big church they can't manage a funeral, like if they don't have that as a part of a thing they do, like I would be really skeptical about a church who cannot, like, who does not do funerals. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't do funerals, which I've heard.
Is that a thing?
Like, I've heard big churches say, like, they don't do weddings or funerals because they have too many people, like, getting married and dying. And I'm like, ew. Part of my job is funerals. And, like, that sounds weird, but also, like, it's such
I love a funeral.
It's such a gift for your clergy person to be with you in those moments. And if somebody isn't doing that, I mean, I've definitely had funerals for people, done funerals for families where they like don't come anymore afterwards because the place is the reminder of the funeral and they take some time away. That's different than me treating them poorly and saying horrible stuff and they can't come anymore. And so I really hope, Leslie, that you hear what Nora says and like say something to that community, even if you don't go back. Or, you know, they're generally mega churches like that tend to not chase after people who leave because there's 12 other people joining, and so it doesn't matter, which is another maybe benefit of a smaller mid to small size church, where I also don't chase after members. Like if you're mad and you left, like that's fine, but I also appreciate knowing why people left. And there are certain things that if it's because I failed at my job, then I want to know that. And if I handled your person's death in the wrong way, I would want, as a clergy person, I would want to know that.
With like, if you're a woman and that's the problem,
then
like you want to change, right?
Yeah. Okay. If the problem is,
you're a liberal
gay people
woman.
Are people, and yeah. I'm a lady yeah. pastor, then they can go somewhere yeah. else. There's plenty of churches that will welcome them just fine. But if it's about like I mistreated you, or you feel like I mistreated you, then I want to know that, or that I didn't take the care that you thought you needed. And sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. Sometimes there's rules where like people are like, my person was in the hospital and you never came. And I'm like, did anybody tell us? Because there's rules now that like the hospital doesn't just call the church that you say you're affiliated with. And
it's called HIPAA.
Yeah. Like
it's
they
a bummer. Just kidding. It's very good.
It's good, but they just can't do it the same way. So some people will be like, my person was in the hospital and you never came. And I was like, nobody called us to tell us. Mm. But like, so if you are a member of a church and somebody you love goes to the hospital, or you go to the hospital and you want your pastor to come, call the church. They will come. And if they don't,
red flag.
Oof, that's a big red flag. Because a community of faith, if they are following Jesus, then they should be with you in the bad times and in the good times. There is joy. I mean, somebody just posted tagged me in a picture of me baptizing their baby on Facebook, and my mom posted on it, baptisms must be the best part of your job. And I was like, really, truly, it is such a joy to like do that and see the little baby faces as they, you know, it's just so great. But also, I am committed to be with people in the hard times. That means people let me into those spaces, and it's hard, but also like that is where God meets us. Like God meets us in those hard places. And so I get like fired up, angry on people's behalf. I get like mama bear about congregations not doing their job, pastors not doing their job. Like part of our job is caring for, like if we use the like, I'm a shepherd and my congregation are my sheep, which I have lots of problems with, but we can roll with it. Like part of my job is to take care of my sheep.
You gotta shear me. Okay. Can't let my wool get too fluffy. It's bad for me. It's actually, it serves a purpose for you to help that. I'm getting into that metaphor. I'm sensing. This experience of feeling like failed and feeling left behind for me presented me with not an opportunity, but more like forced me to just see all of the ways that I had not done a great job of showing up for other people in their hard things, and has made me much more in tune with how to do that. Not perfect at it, always a skill that you are building and working on, but I know how important it is now not just to be there for, you know, a wedding or for a baby shower, but to be there when shit is hard.
Yeah. And like, so the hipster churches, I understand their appeal. Like there is something when you have that many young people with that much expendable income, like
with those many Instagram followers. Right. Oh gosh, they're so good at content.
Right. Content is fine, but if they can't be with you in the hard stuff, it's not like, maybe it's a church you attend every once in a while, you know, when you need like the big rah-rah.
When you need just a really good band.
Right.
And some hot dudes on the altar.
On
the stage. I don't know. All I'm saying is,
there's so many things.
You need to objectify a semi-pastor, fine. Okay. Like,
and then
in an old warehouse space,
yeah,
a lot of faux distressed things.
Yeah.
There's also like those coffee bars. Those are nice. I get it.
Also, I'm going to do a quick plug here for chaplains. If your clergy person fits the category of like they do not do pastoral care and you need that when you are in a hospital or somebody you love is, like, chaplains are, they are amazing, wonderful human beings. They are not always denominationally affiliated, so they can just be like Christian, or there's non-denominational chaplains who just come in and open up space for you to talk about what's going on. Mm. And so most hospitals have many chaplains of many denominations available to come and see you if that's what you need. And I always encourage people to be like, hey, don't knock the chaplains here. Like, they're awesome and they're so good at their job. And most of clergy people, at least in the Lutheran church, but other denominations as well, like, part of our training is doing chaplaincy work to like learn how to have those conversations and be with people in the hard moments and walk into a hospital room where people have just gotten the worst news of their life and be able to be in there. Mm-hmm. And so, again, like, chaplains are great. If your pastor has not gone through that training,
ask when you're church shopping. These are good questions to ask that I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
So, Leslie, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry about your dead mom. I'm sorry that in the aftermath you just felt forgotten and betrayed. I'm sorry that you're going through all of this stuff. And I think you should say something. And everyone else, look around your community, faith or otherwise, and see if you can really imagine the people around you being there for the hard stuff. And if you can't, well, too bad. I don't know.
and it's okay if not everybody can, but if you don't know anybody who would come to you in the hardest day, then I would either like seek out people who will do that, or have a conversation, like have a hard conversation about like, I'm not sure we're really real with each other. Like, I want this friendship to be more than, you know, Instagram pictures and like the perfect life. False. I mean, Marco Polo'd one of my friends from the bathroom crying this week. And she knew exactly why I was crying and exactly like why what I had just gone through was as hard as I did. And like, you need those people. And she was like, I'm praying for you. What do you need? Do you need me to come and sit in your office with you? Like, I can just be there. And, you know, I mean, it's that kind of person who you're like, you need those people in your life. And if they are not in your church, that is fine.
Fine. You need them somewhere.
But you need them somewhere.
You need them somewhere. And also, yeah, if you're not going to get all things from all people.
Right.
But I also think this is a good chance for everybody's listening to look around yourself at people you know who might need you in some way and see where you can just step in.
Yeah.
And be.
And if your community of faith does not have this kind of level of they will be there for you, A, find a different one, or B, be the change in your community. Like, go in there and be like, we need to be better at this because I experienced a loss and nobody was there. And I feel like this is a hole that I see. And either your church is going to be like, we agree, we recognize this and we've been talking about it and we just don't have the volunteers, but what do you think would work? And they might be just like,
yep, waiting for you.
Waiting for you to be there. Or they might be like, ooh, you know, that doesn't really fit our mission. And then I'd be like, peace out.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
But you really do need to like ask the question. Like, I think we need this here. Like, life is hard, and to pretend it's not is like doing such a disservice to your community. And so if you are committed to a community, then change it from the inside out. I think you can absolutely do that. And one of the things I've loved about my community is that the people who have gone through stuff are always the ones who are coming up to me and being like, this was so helpful when I was going through this. I want to be on that team. Like, our funeral team is so big, and half of the people on that team are people who did it because the funeral team supported them during their funeral. And like, what a gift that they keep being like, I don't know what I would have done without this team. I want to be on it. I didn't even know they existed until I needed them. So I want to be on that team. And so, like, make that happen for people. If that's
go you. Go find the team you needed. Go be the team you needed.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk. Thank you, Leslie, for voicemail.
Yay.
Well done. Well done. What's that number again?
612-568-6066.
That's awesome. It's a great phone number. Call it.
It is a great number.
Or you can also record a voice memo on your phone and attach it to an email and send that email to cafeteriachristian@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is my dog barking in the background.
Maybe you'll hear it. Maybe you won't.
Okay. I'm Nora McInerney.
I'm Natalia Turfa.
Just keep taking what you like.
And leave the rest.
Leave the rest. Thank you, the Reverend Matthew Ian Fleming of Altar Guild, for producing this podcast. And to the Lutherans for giving us these microphones. And to Prozac for making my dog too happy.
She's
out there playing.
But, you know, this is a big step. It's great.
Big step.
It's a big step for her.
Big step for her.
It's good. All right. Good. Thanks, all. Come find us on Facebook and Instagram, Cafeteria Christian, and all the things.
Yep.
Just come find us. We believe in you.
Bye.
Bye.